Unbidden, the stickiness of blood flittered into her mind. Shane shook her head and shuffled her feet into the gravel to banish it, but still it clung like ivy to the crevices and peaks of her memory. She had to believe that this was a bad dream. No, was all she could retort. She didn't know to what she would disagreed, only that this was the most lucid word. She objected entirely to this looking-glass world. Yes, he said, but we cannot long discuss this here. He looked around, casting a sharp glance at the statue, but the day sky held only clouds, and they weren't talking. We might be overheard. You might be in danger, you see. And not the fun sort with wacky hijinks. More the type where you get torn to pieces. I'm not up for that. She couldn't see what she had to hide in the empty garden. Wilting hyacinth inspired more confidence than a man who could avoid her fists. You said blood dry. Like vampires? She asked. Vampires weren't real. So if he said yes, she knew he was just crazy. She could handle crazy by avoiding it. No, I do not. They can be unsavory, especially the Penanggalan, a Malaysian breed. They have their uses. Disposal, for example. It wasn't a vampire that killed you. But I'm not dead. Nothing killed me, she stated less confidently than she would have wished. Being certain one is alive isn't something to which one pays mind. If you could ask the question, you were fine. If you could not, hopefully you had a cozy coffin. He smiled at her, seizing upon her doubt. As though speaking to a child who had just boasted an understanding of basic addition, he said, No, you aren't dead. Present tense. But you were. Past tense. And if you would care to continue the conversation, or ever again have a conversation with anyone anywhere, you would do well to come with me now. Future tense. Technically subjunctive if you want to mince words. Shane heard her voice agreeing to follow and, to her annoyance, found that she was exchanging the open-air safety of the garden for a squat brick building. To prevent her escape, he had one firm hand encircling her wrist. Were she to stop, he would pull her along in his wake like a little girl's rag doll. Entering the building, he swaggered through a black door that opened into a theater. Releasing Shane, he darted down rows, moving like a puppet cutting its strings until he collapsed upon the ground and pulled cloth bags from his pockets. Shane sat on the stairs leading to the balcony seats and, feeling the distance safe enough should he turn violent, watched him stride to the corners, gesturing as though he were a young boy throwing an animated tantrum in stuttered sign language. As he moved to the corner nearest her, she felt irrationally safer. He dropped what looked like the contents of a tea bag in this final corner, which Shane lost sight of as they glided to the ground. Now, he announced. Still facing the wall, we can speak freely for exactly, he looked down at his bare wrist, 3 minutes and 42 seconds, 41, 40, then the movie starts. You should not have wasted so much time. These orientation videos are demanding. He turned and walked over to her, standing just far enough that Shane did not feel vulnerable. She suspected that this wasn't a coincidence. Where should we begin? He mused, looking to the left. Shane remembered that people who are being at all dishonest are supposed to look to one side, but she could not recall which. Why do you know my dream? She had lost quite a lot recently and didn't care to include the sanctity of her unconscious mind. No, that's not the most important bit. Dreams don't leave scars, usually. Shane felt, if distantly, annoyed that he so casually referenced her scars and, by extension, her state of undress once more. The only person with any right to comment on her being less than clothed was not among the living, but according to him, she hadn't been within the last 18 hours. She tried to muster up a proper level of righteous indignation about this violation of her privacy, but a wave of sedation washed over her instead. So you've seen my scars, she stated more calmly than she had intended, almost drunkenly. Her head lolled from side to side, but she fought to continue. They're old. What's that prove? It proves I caused them. 3 minutes. He answered. Back still turned to her. The words seemed amorphous and vague without the punctuation of facial expression. Despite her uncertainty, she clutched at her chest, as though protecting what would have been the most mortal of the wounds. I didn't cause them in that way, he corrected with a cough. We don't yet know who or what caused the wounds. I happened to find you sans a few pints of blood and put you back together. Remember 243. Shane struggled to remember anything of the sort, anything from the night before that could corroborate or contradict, but it seemed like her memory had been wiped clean. Because you're what? My guardian angel? Not my pantheon, he whispered, passing close, his back turned to her. She kicked out his legs and jumped up as he fell. Flat on his back, he found Shane's heel at her throat. Though he outweighed her by 50 pounds, she had strength enough. I'm going to ask you some questions, and you're going to answer them like a normal, straightforward person. Who are you? Gideon, he croaked, inwardly pleased. She would do nicely. Shane was conscious to keep his windpipe open, whether he made use of it or not. She was not sure trachea could be fractured, but, freed from societal bonds, she felt ready to find out. What are you? Damon, he croaked again. 232. Shane stepped back, though entirely of her volition. She knew that this was the stuff of paperbacks featuring dragons on their covers, but she felt that he controlled her. Thanks for getting off my neck, he said, brushing non-existent dirt off his clothes. Once satisfied he was clean, he continued. We could discuss this all day, which would be a bad idea, as we are down to 2 minutes precisely. Or you could just trust that I'm not going to attack you, or push you in an oven, or gobble you up. And I would thank you not to attack me again, particularly when my back is turned. It's not sporting. She had no reason to trust him, save for the feeling of her will trickling down her spine like frozen, oily spiders. Fine, then, he stated. He snatched the card he had given her and tore it to shreds. The sensation stopped, the spiders returning to their unctuous icebox webs. You are in full possession of your will now. I was only inhibiting the smallest bit for your own good. Now do you trust me? No! She exclaimed, and then, her curiosity getting the better of her, asked, How can you do that? And what were you doing in the corners? And there are more pressing issues. It was a spell to keep us off the radar, to use the vernacular. It won't last long. 1 minute and 27 seconds. I don't believe in spells, Shane stammered. Though she was losing her resistance, he laughed, the sound of it bright green. You don't need to believe. We haven't got a lot of time here, 1 minute, so I'll be brief. We need to know why you were cut open. Then we can start to put things right. Otherwise, you will likely cease to be in this world, and there will be nothing anyone can do about it. Clear? Shane was quiet for a long moment, her brain having run through the scenario of a world where supernatural beings put people back together with magic. She felt grateful to have never done drugs. If you're a demon, why are you helping me? 48. Damon, not demon. There's a difference aside from that vowel. There's more than what you have read in fairy tales. Shane did not appreciate the precise chiding. It put her at a decided disadvantage and insinuated a level of intimacy. You would be worm food if I hadn't found you last night. You owe me your life, but what is that among friends? She wouldn't argue that she didn't feel the least bit friendly. So you saved me. From whom? He inhaled through his teeth, which Shane noted were neither pointed nor rotted. I told you, I do not know. Though he knew perfectly well, he had to know what she thought happened. Shane, though an only child, had intuition enough around children dissembling in order to avoid a subject. To her, Gideon could not be more obvious if he were hiding a stolen cookie behind his back. In this sense, he thought, was why she wanted Shane too. How's it any of your business now? I'm alive and rescued. It is my business because... He trailed off, choosing his lie. He rubbed his throat and continued, Suffice it to say that this world would like for you not to exist. You reek of my intervention, and I may use few of my talents until this is resolved. How do I know you won't just kill me to save yourself? That doesn't erase the fact that you were to be a virgin sacrifice. The ripples from what I did, still exist and have to be corrected or canceled. This isn't like the spell hiding us here or suppressing your will. Those are pebbles in the river. The fact you are alive is more like a mountain being dropped into the stream. That is why there are so few Lazaruses. Our time is now up. He bowed, put his finger to his lips, signaling her silence. The room seemed to shimmer around her. What now? You unfragment, he whispered. Then everything went dark.